Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Were fans delusional about the Browns? Mitch brought this to our attention. Preseason over-unders. I mean, Vinny Iyer had the Browns at 7-10. Seth Walter, ESPN Analytics, had the Browns at 6-11, fourth in the AFC North. Over-under with BetMGM, DraftKings, over-under was 8.5. It's down to 5.5 after 4 weeks. If it was a stock, you'd be selling. You'd be trying to bathe yourself of this thing and get moving on. 5.5, 5.5, and now you have a team that's 1-3, and it feels in a lot of ways like they're trying to save their season coming up this Sunday. And so we read delusional about this Browns team. And there's no other way to say it. No, I don't think that they are. I think they're a massively underachieving team. I think that they had talent. What's the difference between last year and this year? A lot of people are going to say quarterback. Quarterback played well on Sunday. Injuries? We had injuries last year. I mean, the chips were down, but both times this team made the playoffs, the chips were way down.
I will say this. One thing, and I expected them to make the playoffs. I think before the year I said 10-7. I think, were you in that neighborhood,
yeah,
Kenny?
Yeah, because I thought that the quarterbacks wouldn't get hurt at the same. You couldn't just count on the quarterbacks being garbage again.
I did say that I think this might be the first year in like five where I couldn't necessarily sign on to we were more talented than last year. And the reason I said that
The team themselves.
Yeah. The reason I said that was Betonio was a year older. Teller was a year older. And you didn't have 100% Chubb going into the year. Last year, going into the season, we thought, oh my God, look at the talent. Look at the talent in the roster. This year, and I wasn't necessarily subscribing to Jerry Jeudy was going to make the difference. So I thought you had so many veterans on this team that they're all a year older. I thought maybe we'd take a little bit of a step back talent-wise. But I didn't expect us to be this. I mean, this to me was crazy. And the fact that I saw it, a few of the sites put it together that the Browns now had the worst win total of all the teams in the NFL. Like, from here on out, I was like, what? How could that be? It's 5.5? Yes, we're going to win more than five.
Strength of schedule is difficult.
We're going to win six games.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. We only need five more the rest of the year. We can't win five more the rest of the year.
I sure as hell hope so. Where do they come from right now for a lot of fans?
Well,
I'm just putting you to the test.
Cincinnati is not.
It's easy for me to say it.
Cincinnati's not as good as we were thinking. Philadelphia is not as good as we were thinking.
All right.
So, right off.
But we're not as good as we were thinking.
We're not. No. No, but
New Orleans is better. Look at us playing schedule game. Kansas City's Kansas City. Oh, Miami. Miami's not as good.
Miami's
garbage. It will be December. Okay. Well, I you got the four right there off the top of our heads.
And then you'd like to think you'd continue what we've done the last, 5 years and split with Pittsburgh.
I mean, but you're looking for wins. It's like, okay, if they get the 6-11, 6-11 is still going to be unacceptable. That's completely unacceptable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they win six games, you win that bet. But
yeah,
you're not feeling good about
this. Where's the bar that we're setting over here, Anthony? So I just think it's a massively underachieving football team right now. They were not ready for this football season. They were not ready for...
That's pretty clear, right?
I mean, when Kevin Stefanski let you know without letting you know, he wanted to play Deshaun Watson against Seattle. Why did he want to play Deshaun Watson against Seattle? I don't know. Well, you found out during the first 3 weeks of the season, did you not? Now he's starting to get a little bit better. 216-474-0092. Were we delusional about this Browns football team? Tony and Mansfield, you're first up in the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well, Tony. Go right on ahead.
Yeah, I think before the preseason, I don't think we were delusional at all. But then you started to hear, and I mean, I know you guys were there, but everything Zach said, especially Daryl, you know, throughout, you know, training camp and then through the preseason, especially after, you know, the Vikings in camp scrimmage, it's like all these things started to unfold, and we kind of paid attention to it, but, oh, it's a new install of a new offense, and that's another thing, you know. I pointed to yesterday, or I think it was a day or two ago, about just the window closing with all these veterans. They're a year older, like you just said, Tone. So as far as talent-wise, are we much better? No, because all of our veterans are a year older, and then you have those injuries that play with a lot of our veterans, right? There are a lot of our veterans are injury-prone. But then you put into just the new install of our offense, which I was never a big fan of Ken Dorsey when he was in Buffalo. And it just seems like I think that time will tell. It's kind of frustrating because I don't know.
Do you think Kevin Stefanski's being forced to call an offense that he doesn't like?
Man, that's a hard question.
It is, isn't it?
Possibly. I just don't know if it works because I was never a big fan of him when he was in Buffalo. And then obviously we talked about our losing our offensive line coach and the amount of effort that he also put into our run fits. And then you can see the offensive line communication. And, you know, it just happens in the NFL with these injuries. I mean, the list of injuries are always longer and longer just because these athletes are more fine-tuned. And what I mean by that is it's unfortunate, but these athletes are at the top physique more than ever with the technology and the amount of training and regimens that they have now. So you're more apt for injury. But unfortunately with us, it always seems to hit us harder. But I don't know as far as delusional, but I would say now it's just there's a lot of things not working. And even on our defense, you know, Schwartz talked about it, you know, when he had the press conference when he was like, you know, not very happy, we haven't even really been able to work because we have never had haven't had everybody on the field at the same time.
It's made things. My only theory to that, Tony, and thank you very much for the call. Like people go, well, they get paid too much and they're soft now. The other theory that I might have, because that one's used too much. And there's a lot of guys that I think that obviously they make a lot of money. I don't think that Ethan Posick is soft or Wyatt Teller is not soft or those guys just aren't soft. I also think that now. Can you, like, you can only run with, like, Joe Hayden. Remember Joe Hayden would say you can either run with him or you can't. You can either run with Antonio Brown or you can't run with Antonio Brown. And so you could be out there, but if you can't run with him, you're going to hurt yourself. You don't even give yourself a chance. And you're going to hurt your team. You don't give them a chance. Is that part of it? Like, guys are bigger, faster, stronger. Maybe not bigger as much as they used to be, but they're faster and stronger than they used to be. So it's like, well, if you're banged up and you can't get to him, like another guy could possibly get to him, well, maybe you should be sitting out. I don't know. That's me looking for reasons on some of this. Because this is two straight years now where it has been just a scroll, like Chris Jericho rolling down the mat of guys who are injured again.
And maybe this is to be expected when you have veterans, but didn't right off the bat on your defensive line. I mean, you know, Miles is Miles. Like he came into the season apparently kind of banged up to begin with.
I don't know.
But Za'Darius Smith was dealing with stuff right off the bat. Tomlinson, like the first day at camp, he's like, hey, I'm here. Oh, I'm not going to be able to really do much. Right off the bat. And that just happens with veterans.
Yeah, but you play the Raiders last week. Like the Commanders have a considerable list right here in front of me. But like the Raiders last week, it stuck out to me because I'm going, man, like there's like five guys on this list and one of them's Devontae Adams. So he doesn't even want to play. So there's really like four guys on the list. And I think Max Crosby was out. And the other guys were able to go, oh, wait, their one backup secondary player was out. But the rest, like, if they were inactive, it was just because they were inactive for the day. Chris in North Ridgeville, beg your pardon. Chris, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing okay, Chris. Go ahead.
I think I trick myself into thinking the Browns are going to be this great team every year. And my schedule game is a lot nicer to the Browns than even your guys' is. So I think I go into a season, especially after making the playoffs and all the comments you made about, you know, we had all the quarterbacks and all this adversity and still ended up winning all these games and getting in. And then I'm watching the Browns and I'm going, what's the problem? I don't think it's one thing. I think Bill Callahan being gone and the discipline he puts in the offensive line, especially with the young guys who aren't fully developed yet. Mm-hmm. I think that's a problem. And I think that, Who would you put back there at quarterback that could make plays to all the guys on the offense? I know our running game's bad, but I think that we have weapons, and when Deshaun's able to throw and make a decent pass, these guys seem to be open. Jerry Jeudy was somebody that I was worried about, and I'm not really worried about him. I feel like he and Amari, of course, are these guys making plays out of nothing at times, and they're reliable when they're getting a chance.
I think we have to ask ourselves, stay here, Chris, do we have the weapons we think we do? We don't have Nick back yet. Jerry Judy's been good, but he's been good for us. Has he stuck out with the rest of the NFL? No. Amari stuck out with the rest
number
of the
two.
NFL because
the
of the drops.
Guy.
Yeah. We haven't had David Njoku. That's a big loss for this offense, especially for a guy coming back from injury like Deshaun Watson.
But doesn't Njoku really change what's happening up front with the offensive line and Deshaun getting sacked 8 times?
Think he does.
Okay, you say it that way. I think that a lot of Stefanski's pet plays that right now you're seeing Akins is just not – he's not where – he'll chip, and then release, and it's a safety valve. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about Deshaun Watson, even his completion percentage, what it would be if he just had that safety valve dump off.
Well, it'd be quick. It'd be closer to the line of scrimmage. And also, he blocks so much better than he did when he started his career. Go ahead, Chris.
I agree with that, and I think Njoku's a big part, especially some of those screens or like those little passes we throw to Akins. He just doesn't have the speed that Njoku did. The other thing, I don't know if it was you guys or a different show. It could have not been 92.3 at all, but somebody made a comment about the offensive line being heavier and heavier, but they're slower, and the defensive ends are getting bigger and faster, like at that 275 running like 4.5. Do you think it would be, this is kind of a weird take, but do you think it would be weird if the Browns would pioneer maybe a lighter, faster defensive end type of guy on the offensive line to keep up with these ends coming around the edge?
No. The only way they'd be able to do that would be in that game, would have been against the Giants. And Chris, thank you for the call. The game against the Giants when things got really out of hand. And I was like, well, you're going to need a tight end to play tackle. I was like, hell, you might need Dalvin Tomlinson to try to play tackle, for crying out loud. Ethan Posick is not heavy. Wyatt Teller, and I know Wyatt's not available right now. Joel, I don't think any of them are heavy. The only one that people have been saying is heavy is DeJuan Jones. And DeJuan Jones is as heavy as he was last year. He's playing with an injury. But if he's out there, he's open to criticism.
Yeah,
if you're playing, you're open to the criticism, but he's right, playing with an injury.
If he looks slower to react to things, people will assume, because he's a big guy, that he's even bigger. Right, I mean, the way people talk about him, you'd think he was 500 pounds.
I mean, maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll find out he's been getting fined like crazy for being pounds
over.
What
did Greco say?
Greco said it's up to $730 a pound, and that when he was playing, they were fining $700 a pound over your weight limit. So if you were supposed to be 325 and you came in at 335, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Holy and the CBA Toledo. Says you can weigh him twice a week.
Oh, gosh, that's a lot. I did not
cook that fry.
I did not. Yeah, the guy barely watches any baseball at all, cooking me. I watched 112 Guardians games. I watched 112 Guardians games this year.
I do the love that you added them up. I do love that you added them up.
Watched them all.
I'm definitely double digit. I definitely saw double digit.
It's amazing how baseball works. You saw double digit. Congratulations.
At least.
I saw like 16th of the season.
You always find a way. 8:20 this morning, Mary Kay Cabot going to join us on the show. Todd Derry, 9 o'clock, Derry Brothers Guardians cast, which is on the free Odyssey app. Speaking of the Odyssey app, that was a person on the Coming In Hotline, which is a microphone button right next to the Listen Live button on the free Odyssey app. So you get the free Odyssey app, you go to the fan, you follow us on the fan, and then you're able to listen live, and you're able to record your Coming In Hotline.
All right, I got one
on
for
the Coming
today.
In Hotline.
Can you ask me before the show, and then you ask me during the show, and I didn't have a good reason, said, do you hate Detroit? Do you hate the Tigers?
Yes, I did.
Right now, give us a reason. Other than we're playing them, give us a
memories
reason.
Memories of Miguel Cabrera.
What? Yeah, absolutely. That works. I said Jim Leland.
Go into the Coming In Hotline, put your reason there.
Yeah.
We'll montage you.
Yeah, why do you hate Detroit?
Let's build it up. Let's build it up right now.
Let's not get into the economics of things here.
We'll send it to the ticket.
Or whether it's Cold in the D, one of the best
one
produced
of the greatest songs
the
ever.
Greatest song.
Yeah, one of the best videos.
Can they go after Kwame Kilpatrick?
Absolutely. All fair
Can
game
Can they
here.
Go after Dave Bing?
Mitch Albom.
I would enjoy it if they went after Mitch Albom. Dan Wetzel.
Oh, let's
Eminem.
Go.
Eminem. Can they go after Eminem?
Yes. Yeah, we're in MGK City.
Tom Selleck.
Is he from Detroit?
He wears a Tigers hat. I imagine he's from Detroit. Didn't he hit a home run in a spring training game for them or something?
No, that was in Japan, and that was the movie Mr.
Baseball. No. Google it. You can Google it. He hit a home run somewhere.
Hit a lot of them.
With them. You can Google it. Mr. Baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to use my time to do that.
You think I ain't seen big Mr. Baseball? Big hit, happy body. Been seeing some Mr. Baseball. Come on. All right, 216-474-0092. I don't like that they're playing the Tigers. And I had said before the show, it's like, well, you know, I kind of got used to not hating the Tigers and kind of having a neighbor on the other side of the lake there to kind of wave at from our house and enjoy. But now, for whatever reason, the neighbor has started to mow our patch of grass and they put the fence too far in and they're on our property and now there's about to be a problem. And no matter what, this is going to change our relationship. If we win this series, they're going to hate us. And if they win this series, we're really going to hate them. And this is where it's going to take off. They got one player over 30 years old, which was Ibanez, who hit the trifecta Andy. Double, triple on yesterday. So this is going to be a team that we're going to have to see if we want to compete. It seems like we're going to have to see for quite a while. I don't know if they're going to be just some flash in the pan. Maybe it's baseball. Sometimes it happens. I wasn't ready to hate the Tigers. Looks like I'm going to hate the Tigers. But there's another feeling. Does it feel like there's more pressure on us now?
So you asked me that yesterday. You asked me that before the show. And I'm like, it's tough. It's tough for me to put a ton of pressure because when I think about pressure, I'm like, what happens if they lose? Right? In football, like if the Browns lose this week, you know, you want to talk about pressure. This season we know could spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we thought everybody was safe. Jobs could be on the line and we could be looking at a completely different
season.
Yes.
Lots of pressure.
Oh, hell yeah. With the Guardians, I don't see that. I mean, no one's losing their job. I don't think anybody's future is on the line. You know, maybe you could talk me into, well, what are they going to do with Josh Naylor?
Feel of the thing? Because we're not with the other two teams, we're not fighting that war that we're fighting constantly with the Guardians. And you know what that fight is. It's the hopelessness of the sport. The hopelessness that you don't have the owner that has the wherewithal, this, that, and the other. And they've put together a good roster. They've put together a good team. The rotation has started to come together a little bit. The bullpen has been outstanding this year. I mean, you could say all the great things about this team. And I felt if you played the Astros, it's like, hey, house money, happy-go-lucky. They're the team that has been there 7 ALCS the last 7 years. It's been a streak for them. Can you beat the Tiger or can you beat the Astros? Can you knock them off? Now it just feels like, man, we're the one that won the division. We're the one with the bye week. They're the one. I mean, they are clearly playing with nothing to lose. They're as happy and go lucky as possible. And I'm thinking, man, I kind of feels like I missed out on that part. Feels like there's pressure on this.
Well, so I will.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll say one thing that did come up as we were talking about, you know, do we hate Detroit? I mean, by the end of this series, you absolutely will. And you do not want to see that team like celebrate here in our place or, you know, anywhere to have to see that when you play them, when all year we were the better team. And even though we only won 7 of the 13, so it was pretty close throughout the year, but we were the better team overall. I mean, there was no disputing that. From start to finish of this season, even when things were looking a little bleak and we were only 2 games ahead of what it was, the Royals at the time.
Yeah.
We were still the better team. Like, that'll be tough to stomach. That part of it would be tough to stomach. And I don't even want to think about that, having to deal with that.
No.
I mean, they were tied with the Royals at one point, and that was what, beginning of September? And the Tigers are the only team that kind of came on. The Royals fell off, the Orioles fell off.
Well, the Twins fell apart.
The Twins died. You know, the Yankees.
So do you feel like we still have house money? 216-474-0092. Are the Guardians playing with pressure or house money?
I think we're still house money right now. I think this series, we're still house money. Look, the comparison for the Tigers is the 2022 Guardians and how they kind of came from nowhere. And the bottom line is Tigers had, they don't have anybody on this roster that had over 75 RBIs in the regular season. They don't have anybody that had over 25 home runs in the regular season. They have a pitcher that is a lights out guy that we'll probably have to see twice if they make it to two games. You know, if they make it long enough that they would see him twice. But I don't think we should be afraid of the Tigers right now or worried that our backs are against the wall on any of this. I think it's a house money situation. Honestly, very good for them. They got hot. They've been hot. They beat the team that has been the standard bearer for the last 8 years or 7 years in the American League in the Astros. I'm glad they took care of that business and we didn't have to worry about it. Now it's time to go play the same type of baseball that the Guardians have played all year.
I keep going back to the calls that we get. I care about what the fans have to say to us. And I know sometimes it can come off like crazy talk.
But the broken record stuff is going to be there, right?
If they were to play the Astros, you know, I got to think worst case scenario first. If they were to play the Astros and they were to lose, it's like, hey, the Astros are the Astros. They've invested a lot of money. If anybody's mad at the Guardians, I can take it less seriously than I can with the Tigers. If somebody calls in and they're brutally mad with the Guardians over, and I don't know how the series is going to play out, obviously, but if they're brutally mad with the Guardians, you know, I take that into effect. Detroit, even though it's a massive city and we don't recognize that, it does feel like they're kind of in the same boat we are. I mean, Mike Ilitch just passed away. They've decided to bring the spending back down. They've decided to go young. They've decided to go through their own version of analytics and go through their own version of the farm system, kind of like the way we do, because we are a blueprint for a lot of organizations, even though we haven't won a World Series in 76 years. And I think that if we were to lose to this team, I think for a lot of fans, it would take a long time. It would take till next spring training and really till opening day next year for them to get that taste out of their mouth of what a tremendous season this has been and how it ended so bitterly and look forward to next year. If you had such a tremendous season this year and then you couldn't get over this Tigers team, it feel like maybe you're carrying a hatchet with you for the rest of the season, or excuse me, for the rest of going into next year. I feel like it's a must win. That's a stupid thing to say, but it feels like there's the pressure that we wouldn't have had if we played the Astros. Like, again, no one's getting fired. Josh Naylor might get traded this offseason. No one's getting fired. And I'm looking at him going, you guys got a bright future still, but a team that was, people were talking about trading Scooble before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They had to
come
out and say, like, we're not trading this kid. This is not happening. Like, people were talking about that before the trade deadline, and here they are in the postseason with us. 216-474-0092. Is it house money, or are they under some pressure now that they face the Tigers in the ALDS? Anthony in Cleveland Heights, you're first up in the Fan. Hello.
I tend to think it's house money. My hope at the beginning of the season was 87 wins and we sneak into a wild card because the Central Division was going to be easy. So that prediction turned out to be a joke. So the fact that they got to 92 wins and won the division, I'm just going to enjoy the experience. I mean, again, I'm not the first one to say it. Baseball's a crapshoot. You know, anything can happen come Saturday. You know, the batting average on balls put in play could break our way and we could sweep the Tigers in three games, or it might go five games.
Well, we all want greatness, and there's always different levels of success, though, that we have a threshold of, like different levels of failure. So, like, if the Cavs got to the Eastern Conference Finals this year and they lost to the Boston Celtics, what the hell am I supposed to say, Anthony? Am I supposed to rip them for it?
Right.
No, the Celtics are a great basketball team. We could talk about how the team was built, but that's a different conversation. The Browns, if they were to somehow get to the AFC Championship game, which is a pipe dream right now, but obviously I would say, well, the way the season started, it'd be a hell of a performance. If the Guardians were to get to the ALCS, lose to the Tigers, that's a $300 million baseball team in their last year paying $300 million. Mm-hmm. The Royals are a good team. I understand that. Maybe I'd feel a little differently, but it's like, man, we were the team that people were talking about all year. And now all of a sudden the Tigers come and they take it away from us and we're in the same division. I'd be sick to my stomach, and I would definitely hate the Tigers after something like that. I feel maybe they're not under pressure, and no one's getting canned for this, but I feel pressure as a fan.
I'll give you an interesting stat that I cobbled together yesterday after the Tigers turned out to be our opponent.
Yeah. Is this a creamy nougat?
Oh, does Anthony at Cleveland Heights have a creamy nougat? Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes, I think I do. Okay. 3 starts, 16 innings pitched, 12 hits given up, 3 runs given up, 22 strikeouts and 4 walks. That's a 1.65 ERA. That's a whip under 1. That's Gavin Williams against the Tigers this year.
That is how you cobble a stat.
That's really good. That's a good cobbling of a stat. Thank you very much for the call, Anthony.
I like it a lot.
Anthony, the stat.
When he started, it sounded like Creed in The Office describing Bigfoot, but he put it all together. That was some good stuff.
Well, what do you think Gavin Williams' role is going to be in this series? He's one of the interesting names.
He'll be one of the pitchers.
But, I mean, will he be... Will he? Are we sure?
He will be a pitcher during this.
I seriously,
I don't know if we'll see an appearance from him, though.
I mean, I wonder.
The one thought that we heard from Mandy Bell, it was 2 days ago, but she said, maybe it's one of those things where Alex Cobb goes 2 or 3 innings and then Gavin Williams comes in. But the plan was for him to do that on Sunday in some form, and we didn't get to see it because that game was ultimately rained out and not made up.
216-474-0092. Sean and Madonna, got to go quick. Go.
Look, we're playing with house money. This was the team I wanted to see when we got here. The only team that is the big boogeyman is the LA Dodgers. Shohei, everyone wants Shohei to win his ring. I'm not afraid of anybody in this lineup at all.
Wow. Sean, tough talking Sean. We thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. Do you feel that we're playing with house money? I'm feeling a sense of pressure as a fan.
I think it will build.
I'm feeling a sense of pressure because I'm going to admit to you, I do not want to take those calls. If they lose that series, I do not want to take those calls.
I'm with you there.
Because I think they've done a tremendous job. I do think that they have a bright future ahead of themselves. Maybe your best future player isn't even with you right now. We'll see how that all goes. I mean, you got some things to really look forward to here. And I would pick you to win this series, but I don't want to deal with those calls afterwards.
That call, I know we got to go. That caller did say, well, it's baseball. It's a crapshoot. And I wonder how we use that, how we try to say that, you know, the postseason validates everything you do all year. And then when you have people say, well, it's just really a crapshoot anyway. So does it validate, you know, your season at all? Or do we just throw our hands up in the air when it doesn't go our way in the postseason?
That doesn't make me feel any better.
It wouldn't make me feel any better either.
FML, my life. FML.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, if you heard us last week, I already told you about the myriad issues with an online subscription clothing company that my wife started to give her money to. Her money.
A myriad.
Her money. Yeah. Anyway, that was last week. This week, she actually got a refund on one of the items because it never showed. But then it did show. And then we had to have a discussion. What do we do with that information? Me, there's no discussion. Hey, the big company worth a lot of money with private equity money. Yeah, we're fine. We got a freebie. I think a $65, $70 pair of jeans. You don't have to feel bad about that.
$70 pair of jeans. Well done.
Yeah, you don't have to feel bad about that,
little
right?
Finders keepers, right?
That's right. It was their omission. It did come late, so, you know, they have to pay the price for that.
Losers enjoy the boom in the stock market. I don't know. Go ahead.
She told me yesterday that it was on her conscience for a very long time, over the 2 days, and she messaged them, and she couldn't accept the refund. Oh, she contacted them.
She's a good lady.
And she told me, and I quote, "We have children now. What goes around comes around. We can't have that bad karma."
Now, that's... hold on. She thinks something bad's going to happen to the kids?
She thought that it was a bad lesson to teach, even though the kids have no idea.
Well, that's where I was going to go with this.
Yeah, they're too young. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, when you said that, I go, "What?" Does she think there's going to be bad things that happen to her?
She thinks there is something in the cosmos that... If she accepted...
It's a pair of jeans, Tone. It's not
jeans,
a monkey's paw.
I realize that. But she thinks it's her, like, the golden rule, whatever. I don't know what it is. I mean, I was a klepto when I was young. I had no problem stealing. I had I mean, it started with TI-85 calculators in high school. It didn't stop
there.
That's
still a hot thing.
Yeah, it didn't stop there.
Kids still have them?
I had a lot of issues.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, you have to, you gotta do graphic.
All I could do was do boobs and boobless. And that's all I could get out of the calculators.
We synced them up. We were playing Tetris in class. Got yelled at a lot. It was amazing technology.
And I don't want to get down your road of
this
stealing calculators.
This is not a boobless conversation.
No, this is not. Yeah.
So I fully admit, I was a bad person. I did not know right from wrong. I actually did know right from wrong. I just chose to not accept it.
Well,
wrong is
so,
for me.
So yeah. My wife is the opposite of that. That's why I think we work out together.
You got a garage full of catalytic converters.
Oh, if there were two of us, we would. We would be a power crime syndicate. I mean, it would not be a good thing. So I needed her to balance me.
It's not too late.
But
to
I think
her.
She went too far here. She should have just accepted the fact that the company screwed up, and then they gave her money back, and then she got the jeans. It was the best of both worlds. She couldn't accept it.
I can't believe. So did she? She wrote an email, and she said she was buying the jeans.
She purchased the jeans. They refunded them because they didn't come, and then they did come. And she sat on that for a couple of days, and she couldn't accept it. And she reached out to him and said, hey, the jeans came.
And so they took the money?
They took the money. Now, they did discount them.
Oh, okay. Let's
so she got a hey, there you go. Thank you.
For your trouble.
Yeah, for being on the honor system.
That's fine. I don't think there's anything that needs to be fixed there. She's a good woman. And I try, you know, you bitch our ears off about her. And I try to remind myself that we only hear one side. Like, if you've noticed, I've really cooled off in the Sarah Ono stuff because you bitch our ears off about her.
You don't get her side.
I don't hear her side, and I don't want to besmirch her. And also, I've met your father-in-law's friends here recently out and about, and there might have been some things that have been said here and there about watching my mouth.
All right, cool.
I mean, nice. It's not a threat. It's the implication.
It's a promise.
Of one. Yeah.
Let's just say I think I'm going to cancel out his vote come election day.
Oh, okay.
That's your hint at.
Wow. Interesting. I don't know if I would have been bothered with it.
What would
but
you have
she,
done? What would you have done in this situation?
I would have. Well, it's a cop out if I say I don't pay the bills. So I don't know.
Well, somebody said Nick on X, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, says so. You're fine stealing, Anthony. And in this case, is that quintessential stealing the way you think of it? I mean, they made the mistake. They have spillage. Like they account for a certain amount of packages that are going to be stolen. Like, that's part of the company, and that's how we that's why crooks like us, that's how we rationalize it.
Yeah, you ain't hurting nobody. It's like punching someone in the dark. It's a victimless crime.
Like, if your company, let's say we work for Odyssey. Let's say Odyssey.
I don't know if you really want to do this. I think maybe we should put up a stop sign.
Let's say
an Odyssey station.
Let's say Odyssey sent me.
It's not just Andy's last day.
Another paycheck. They sent me another paycheck, and nobody at the end of the year figured it out.
Oh,
maybe I didn't even know. Maybe I didn't check my account.
Okay.
So at the end of the year, because I am not good with records keeping like that, Kenny, as you know, sometimes it works the other way. You find out that you didn't get paid what you were supposed to.
It happens with me like that.
Yeah, it happens. What happens if your company, no matter what it is, sends you that money, you didn't figure it out until later, and then a year later, your accountant goes, hey, you got an extra paycheck. That wasn't on the books. Do you know about this? What do you do with that information? Is that stealing? Is that stealing from your company if you don't say anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
How big of a crime is that?
I think you really would need... That's a big crime because you're going to get fired over it. You need to figure that out.
No one is ever going to find out about it. They already let a year go
by.
Doesn't
matter.
Your company gets bought.
Doesn't matter.
Your company gets bought by another company.
Doesn't matter.
So now you're working for a different company.
No,
you're going to call the new company?
Turn it in. You got health insurance. You got a family to think about.
Yep.
No. Don't do that. Not that you're doing it,
but
I wouldn't do it. That's where I'm at.
And feel free to call Ken out if you don't believe him.
I'm not going to sit there and take... I don't know what you make. Say you make... let's just do a round number. Say you make like $1,000 every 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. If it's an extra grand, I'm not going to mess up my whole job for an extra grand. That ain't going to happen. No. No. Mm-mm.
I don't want to comment on this.
Oh,
I don't think you should.
Why would you comment?
I don't think you should.
Mitch? Come on, you've been mulling
it's called up. The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lyman.
Mitch doesn't want to talk. Nobody wants
the guy
to talk.
Who doesn't have his name on it at all.
How did we get so uncomfortable all of a sudden?
Yeah, there you go. Mitch don't want to comment either. I, hey, I just want to let it. I just want to let the marble mouth know that I am towing the company line on that one.
That's right.
And I mean what I say.
Matthew on X says, I work in shipping. When they give you the refund, they already got their money back from the carrier they use for shipping. They filed insurance claims. So now you gave the money back twice for the product that you received.
I did not know that. Well, now that's
how we rationalize.
A totally different thing.
I take it back. Keep all the money.
Keep all the money. And ask for more.
Get more.
Don't shut that faucet off.
I didn't get paid for a week. And prove it. I don't see that money.
I do think we had a situation, if I want to remember right, a couple of years ago, we had a situation with like sports jackets, like dress jackets or what, you know, sport coats. There you go. Thank you. And they kept I had like five of them were like, stop sending me these jackets. We already have them. And they kept sending the jackets. It was a very awkward thing. Coming up at 8:20, Mary Kay Cabot. Coming up next, they're a player-led team. Except when they can blame someone else, apparently. This is a creamy nougat in its own right.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.